Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
With NFL playoffs right around the corner and the NBA season in full swing, BetOnline has you covered with all the up-to-the-second odds, news, and scores. With additional odds, lines, trends, and info on both desktop and mobile, you can access the world's best wagering information anytime. Head there today to get in on the action and see all the updated odds. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Believe in OK State podcast. I am Megan Robinson, joined by Justin Southwell. Eve Batoba is busy trying to build an empire. And Eve, we wish you luck. He should be back next week. We miss you, but we're going to hold it down.
That's right. We are going to hold it down. Best of luck to Eve getting started in that entrepreneurial ship. And, you know, it's the American dream. So you got to support it. You know, you got to support your best friends. And you got to support them branching out, taking risks, and going after the goals. So I thought, here I was sitting thinking, oh, we've made it. We're on a podcast together. What more in life could you want? And this guy, he's just too ambitious.
A business, Justin. You could also want a business for yourself.
I guess so. I guess that makes sense.
But yeah, so exciting stuff coming for Eve. Sad news, though. College football's over. That's the bad news of this week. Michigan, Justin, congratulations. You called it back in August. They are national champs, 34-13 over Washington. You were the only one out of the four of us, me, Eve, Bixby, and yourself, to get that right. So congrats. Go Blue. Hail. All the things.
Yeah, you know, it was – part of it was just listening to other podcasts like Joel Klatt, Josh Pate. Those guys do some great job talking about our favorite sport, right? College football. And while I don't think that either of them had Michigan winning the national championship, I just felt like based on the previous seasons, what they were able to accomplish, how they were able to beat their rival, how they were able to win a Big Ten championship, they've just continued to build on that. And I just saw so much talent coming back. And especially if you listen to Joel Klatt's most recent episode, it's right after the national championship. He talks about how teams with the best defensive line are normally going to win the national championship. And that just, Michigan proved it again. Georgia has proven it in the past. And that's where I would like to see a big leap from our team, Oklahoma State. So if we're able to install Nardo's 3-3-5 to the next level, I think that we've witnessed what it can do. Based in 2021, when we had Jim Knowles running things, our defensive line was able to create that pressure that allowed our defensive backs to have a lot of success. It takes pressure off of them. They don't have to worry about being in coverage for 8, 10, 12 seconds, whatever the case is, whenever you can get in on the quarterback. And if you're not sacking them, causing pressure, causing errant throws. So that ended up being the difference yet again. And I hope that we see some improvement there for Oklahoma State, because with all the guys coming back that we have, it seems like things are setting up well for us. I think it's just, what's the next step? And based on what Klatt said, I think that's the next step.
Talked about the guys coming back. We're going to get into a little bit more of a portal tracker update at the end of our show, so stay tuned for that. But last week, the big question that we were asking, or that Eve was asking, is who is our quarterback next season? Guys, we have an answer. It is Alan Bowman. He got his waiver for his seventh year in college football. And one of my favorite things, though, were the memes and the tweets coming out about Bowman and just the jokes and the, you know, photos from like 1890 of like, this was Bowman's freshman year, or like high school students be like, I started high school when Bowman was like a junior in college, and now I'm graduating and he's still in college.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. We've got our own version of Kansas's Perry Ellis. I'm not afraid to make a few jokes in there myself. That's what Twitter's for. And I'm sure Bowman knows it's all in good fun. It's all out of love. So if anybody's going to have an old guy leading the Pokes at quarterback, we've had that in the past, and it turned out really well for us. But one of the things I'm really excited for is something we just talked about, Michigan. Last year, they were in the playoff, and Bowman was on that team. This year, they were in the playoff. They win the national championship. I am excited for the fact that we have somebody on our roster that knows what it takes to get there and can push our players to where they need to be. So it starts right now, right? We just talked about having fun in the bowl game. If you didn't have fun, you missed your chance, because work starts now. And what you do right now in the off season lends to what you're going to be able to do through the rest of the year. And man, I just love the fact that we have so many guys coming back, but the fact that we have that X factor, I believe, with Alan Bowman. I feel like coaches need to go consult Bowman, you know, just talk about what did Michigan do to get there? What's the difference? And I think he could speak to that. So I'm really excited for what this offseason is going to look like. And now another level to this, something that we didn't have or be able to take advantage of, was NIL. And last year, before Bowman even had the starting job locked up, he flew out receivers to San Diego, tried to get on the same page with them, throwing passes, running routes, all that stuff. I'd love to be able to see him invest some of his NIL into an elite level quarterback, coach, mentor, whatever the case is, because we know Alan Bowman can lead this team. He's done it to the tune of 10 wins, but for Oklahoma State, 10 wins, that's standard now. I mean, Gundy's done it 8 times. At this point, 10 wins isn't cool. You know what's cool? 15 wins. So that's what I want to see. I want to see whatever it takes, digging deep, being able to put that all on the field, just lay it out there. Last chance for you can submit yourself in college football history. And I think that, you know, this is the prime opportunity that people really want. And when they're put in that position, it's what do you do with it? And he has that opportunity. So I'm really excited for him.
What's Jordan Palmer doing these days? I just quickly looked him up, and he was the quarterback, like director of quarterback development for the XFL. But with the merger, I don't really know where he stands. But like, I mean, he worked with so many like top level quarterbacks. So like, hey, Jordan Palmer, if you need something to do, I'm sure you could work with Alan Bowman. How do we make this happen? Who do we talk to, Justin, to make this happen?
But as a quarterback, you should have those connections, right? What's great is, you know, coming from Michigan, having the ties to one of the greatest of all time, Tom Brady. He's not doing anything now, is he? Could you hit up Tom Brady maybe and talk to him? No, that would be really awesome. I don't know how realistic that is, but if you want to get on that TB12 program and elevate yourself to GOAT level status, we're not going to be mad at you.
But one of the keys, you know, we've talked about returning players. We've talked about Michigan, who's won the national championship, their defensive line. On the flip side, you know, what I noticed last night, bringing it back quickly to or Monday night, the national championship, before we move on to other Oklahoma State news, was just the battle in the trenches was so good. So good. Mm-hmm. And like, you had the, you know, Michigan's O-line won the Jim Moore Award to the last 2 years, you know, so 21, 22, and then Washington won it in 23. So you have the last three offensive lines of the year going, you know, playing each other, plus Michigan's D line. And I was looking at the stats. Michael Penix was only sacked once, but Michigan's D line was just putting pressure on him and getting, like, you know, shaking him up. And so I just think about all the guys coming back on our O line, like, who's a who are the O-line coaches out there, the O-line developers that can come and help Coach Dickey get our guys to like the Michigan level? Because if you have a little bit of extra time in the pocket to throw the ball or, you know, give Ollie some blocks, like just imagine,
you know? Yeah, you make a great point. And one of the great things about having Alan Bowman coming back is he's able to recognize the pressure and get rid of the ball. We saw throughout the year, as time went on, it just seemed like week after week, what? No sacks? One sack? Like, that's amazing. And a lot of that was due to Alan Bowman. And I think a lot of that, especially for Washington, was due to Penix because, yeah, we've talked about it already. Michigan's defensive line is elite. There are NFL guys, you know, playing college football right now. And so hey, that's what I'm talking about. You know, everybody, if you're able to come together to use your NIL, I look at it as investing in yourself, investing in your game to be able to elevate yourself to the NFL level. And that's the case of what we're seeing in college football right now. Like Michigan, I think somebody said that they were able to win a national championship with recruiting classes that averaged outside the top 10 over the last 4 years with not many five stars on their roster. I think maybe one or two. And then on the flip side, you've got Washington playing for the national championship. Similar story. So it should be very encouraging to teams like Oklahoma State to be able to say, why not us?
Yeah. When you look at 2022, not good, not good. But then, you know, so we ended 2022 unranked, obviously. We start 2023 unranked up until week what, like 8 or 9? It was after OU. We got our ranking when we beat OU. That's when we first got ranked. And then we end the season 16. So you keep trending upward. It'll be interesting to see where we start the next season. I would think somewhere in the 10 to 15 range would be my guess, maybe even higher with the number of guys that we're returning. And I know that rankings don't matter until the CFP, and it's going to be even more interesting with the expansion of to 12 teams next year. But my point is, we're doing this right now.
Absolutely.
We're doing this. We've got a lot of guys coming back. I've seen some way too early Big 12 power rankings. They have us right at the top. And yeah, you love it.
Yeah, it depends on who you're looking at. I've seen some rankings where OSU still not getting any respect. And I'm wondering, one, do you watch games? Two, do you realize who all is coming back? Three, do you realize we don't have to worry about teams like OU and Texas? So I'm just kind of wondering, like, what are they looking at to consider Oklahoma State being ranked 22 through 25 or whatever the case is, if they have us ranked in the top 25. But people that are paying attention, I think you'll realize, yeah, all these guys that are coming back, it's to be determined as far as what it looks like for teams like Arizona, who this year seemingly came up out of nowhere. How many guys are returning for them? Can they duplicate that same level of success with people knowing that a threat now? So you can't overlook Arizona anymore. You've got to play your game. It's very similar to like how everybody knows about Ollie Gordon now, and they're going to load an extra guy in the box to try to stop him. But then they realize it's Ollie Gordon and he can't be stopped. You know, it's Alan Bowman also has these weapons on the outside. So pick your poison kind of thing. Maybe guys are able to game plan around that and lock down Arizona. Maybe they're able to do that against Utah. Maybe they're able to do that against, you know, Kansas State, Kansas, some of these teams that people would consider to be maybe ranked ahead of Oklahoma State at this point in time. Whereas, you know, on the outside looking in at the end of the year, I'm just thinking there's no way, right? And they have something, they have a chance to do something historic because it's going to be the first year of the 12-team playoff. And it really comes down to winning a Big 12 championship and getting that bid.
Justin, you talked about, you know, everyone's going to know who Ollie Gordon was. Doak Walker winner. Can he be the first person? You know, he's Oklahoma State's first Doak winner. Can he be Oklahoma State's second Doak winner as well? Go back to back. Now, who has gone back to back in position awards? Justin Blackmon, one of only two players in college football to have won the Biletnikoff twice. And he is a member of the 2024 College Football Hall of Fame class.
Amazing. Just, I mean, I don't know. I don't even know what to say at this point. Just the accolades continue. Of course, he deserves it. I am very proud of him for all of his accomplishments on the field. And here's a guy that just, I mean, one of the hardest workers I've ever seen. And I got to see it in person. Just like I mentioned before, talking about the offseason, all the importance before that. Whenever Justin Blackmon and Brandon Whedon made the announcement that they were coming back, it was business. Everything that they did leading up to that season, it's not like they just showed up and they were, you know, at an elite level. Justin Blackmon is out here leading receivers in sprints as the Rabbit and 200 yard sprints in stadiums. He'd be finishing first. He'd be staying after the workouts to get in additional, you know, leg curls or whatever the case is. And he'd do that after practice. He was working his tail off and it paid off for him. It led him to be, yeah, the two-time Biletnikoff winner that we all know today. And what he ended up with, 42 touchdowns, I think, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how hard it is to get in the end zone. This guy did it 42 times. That's unbelievable. Anyway, yeah. I'm excited for him. I'm excited for the receiving core coming up. I think that, one, it's going to be great exposure, again, for Oklahoma State, for the wide receiver U mantra that we have. And I'm excited for Dunn to be able to recruit other receivers who can aspire to be what Justin Blackmon became, because it's been a little while and we're kind of itching for the next elite receiver. Now, don't get me wrong. We have great receivers right now. Who's going to be the next elite receiver? And I think part of that is because Justin Blackmon had guys like Kendall Hunter and Joseph Randall in the backfield who were able to set up stuff for him on the outside. So, of course, he's an amazing, well, the best receiver in college football history to begin with. But if you don't have a running game established, it becomes that much harder for him to be able to achieve that. Whenever we have a guy like Ollie Gordon in the backfield, a Doak Walker Award winner in his own right, who's the next elite receiver? I'm excited to see who it's going to be.
We got some guys. We got some guys in that room, in that receiving room. Got Strib coming back, BP, Rashad, Shetron. Guys, I'm excited for 2024. For those who have forgotten Justin Blackmon's stats, though, I just want to remind people, because we're talking about elite receivers, Justin Blackmon. Well, first of all, he's also being inducted with some pretty other elite receivers. He's one of 19 people in this class, one of 19 players in this class. I believe there are three coaches. Some of the other names, guys being inducted, Larry Fitzgerald, Randy Moss, Warwick Dunn, Julius Peppers, Alex Smith. I mean, those are some pretty legendary names on the NFL level as well. That, you know, but Blackmon, let's sophomore year, he had 1,782 yards, so almost 1,800 receiving yards and 20 touchdowns. The 20 touchdowns were seventh most ever recorded in the NCAA. He was the Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year, only two-time unanimous All-American selection in Oklahoma State history. We asked, will Ollie be the first two-time Doak winner? And he was also unanimous All-American. Will Ollie be the next two-time unanimous All-American? We'll see. We'll see next year. Then coming back his junior season, targets all over him. He had 122 catches for just over 1,500 yards and 18 TDs. Offensive MVP of the Alamo Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl, and fifth overall pick in the 2012 NFL Draft.
I mean, decent, I guess.
Like, yeah, it's kind of all right.
I will say this. You mentioned Randy Moss on that list. And Coach Gunnar Brewer was the guy who coached both Randy Moss and Justin Blackman. So I got to give proper shout outs to a former Oklahoma State wide receiver coach. Coach Brewer, just one of the greatest guys ever, but also proving himself to be one of the best receiving coaches ever as well. But don't forget, that 2011 season, we had Coach Casey Dunn leading the receivers. And that's whenever we see Justin Blackman step his game up to the next level and really stand out as not only like the Biletnikoff Award winner, but returning, and then he added on to. So just incredible job. Of course, a lot of that is, of course, Justin Blackman's work ethic, but we've got to give props to Casey Dunn as well. So Oklahoma State, wide receiver U, for a reason, of course, the athletes, but got to give shout outs where it's due as well with the coaching staff. So,
and if you want to go watch Justin Blackman highlights, OSU Max has all 42 touchdowns. And if I learned anything from watching Justin Blackman highlights the other day and the 42 touchdowns, it's that I didn't think that 2010 and 2011 were that long ago. But the film tells me otherwise, because the quality in just the last like 12 or 13 years is crazy.
It really is. Like, I remember looking at highlights in 2008, 2009. That's whenever I was like, I was a senior in high school, getting freshman in college, and they're on like a different television ratio. Quality is terrible. They're filming with bricks. I don't know what the heck is going on. And then all of a sudden the technology explodes through the 2010s. We've got better, higher quality pictures. TVs are skinnier and weigh a ton less. So props to everybody in the TV industry in general. You guys are crushing it. I don't know how you can make it any better at this point, but keep doing your thing.
It's crazy. When I started at ESPN, we had to cut things for like 3-4 or 4-3 safe. You know, you got to cut it like this just in case someone's still watching in 4x3.
Right, yeah.
SD. And I'm like, can we? It's like,
cool. Can you maybe not watch film on a dinosaur?
Right. If you're watching TV on TV that on only an SD TV in like 2013, you don't deserve to have the shot right, because upgrade. You don't care about quality.
It's time. It's time to upgrade. Life-changing stuff.
Justin, I'm going to flip the rundown a little bit. And we'll talk about the portal. We've been talking about players and people coming back and not going. So before we get to your favorite part of the show, I figure we'll do a little bit of the tracker really quickly.
Yeah, no, that's good.
About Alan Bowman. Wow. Alan Bowman got his waiver. Yay. How do we get one for Leon Johnson too? I'm not done fighting this fight. The NCAA just knows that if they give him one, we'll be too good next year, but I don't want to give up on that yet. In other news, Trey Rucker also announced earlier this week he will be returning for 2024. For those of you who don't remember, Rucker had that game-ending forced fumble and recovery versus BYU to send us to the Big 12 championship. So what does getting Trey Rucker back do for this defense? You know, you have Rucker, Colin Oliver, Colin Clay, Xavier Ross, so many guys coming back.
Well, with experience, I mean, it just can't be understated. It's the experience to be able to play college football and to have that second year in this defensive scheme that Nardo is installing. This is, I think, where, you know, you're past the point of the initial mistakes. You've learned from your mistakes, and now you can really play with, you know, your hair on fire, that speed to the next level, being actually violent, because I know that that's something that Nardo really wanted to instill in his players, getting to the ball fast and getting there with violence. And I think that for the first few games, we were getting to the ball fast and maybe not violent enough, because if you remember, especially the first three or four games, missed tackles all over the place, and it became an issue of we haven't been practicing enough on tackling. We're going to make that a point of emphasis. I would suggest doing that all spring and summer so that you don't have to worry about that at the beginning of next year. But the fact that we have guys that are coming back, it's similar to what we've seen for guys that stood out. We've got a guy who's got 100 plus tackles. It's coming back. That is so valuable to the defense. And then, of course, guys that are, you know, behind him on the depth chart, they have a chance to continue to improve their game and to continue to elevate their level of play, because that's also a very important factor that they don't think about it in the moment. It's just kind of like, you want to get on the field, you want to be the guy, but being able to be behind somebody and learn from them is just something you can't rush that process. So when it's your time, it's your time. But until then, continue to soak up all you can so that whenever the time comes, you're ready to fit right in.
Another name I forgot because he announced, I'm getting confused with who we've talked about on a show versus when they announced and everything, but Kendall Daniels last Friday on January 10th, he announced that he would also be returning next season for, I guess it would be his redshirt junior year, which is incredibly exciting.
Absolutely.
And you said it earlier in the show, you know, people coming back, they're on a mission. You know, we talk about Justin Blackmon. They're here to work in the offseason. I don't think these guys are coming back just for the hell of it. I think that they are on a mission, laser focused. You know, when I talked to some guys last offseason at Media Days, both in Dallas or in Arlington, and the Cowboy Football Media Days here in Stillwater, you know, everyone's like, oh, the goal is the Big 12 championship. And, you know, I think you would ask any player in the Big 12, what's your goal? And that would be their answer, because right, they're competitors and that's what they do. I think that this year, the 2024 season is going to be completely different. And I think they are going to be laser focused, and they know that they can accomplish something great. And you see that in the guys who are coming back. So I'm just, is it August 31st yet?
I know, right? Like, it's going to be such a long wait for us, but for the guys that are grinding through it all that off season, that's, again, be in the moment, live it, love it, embrace the challenge, because it'll all be worth it when the time of the August 31st rolls around. And that's whenever you get to do it in front of 60,000 fans, in front of everybody, in front of your friends, family, you have a chance to really do something special. So, with, I guess, all those guys coming back, it really just speaks to how much, one, they're having fun with each other, because why would you come back to someplace if you weren't having fun? I mean, that's just not a thing. That doesn't happen. So I'm excited about that. The fact that the culture has seemingly turned back to where it has been is very exciting for the program. Of course, for the fans, former players, we all love it. We love to see our team thriving. And we have a chance to have a very special year. So Kendall Daniels, one of the guys, maybe we've
been hard on,
we've called him out a little. We've maybe been hard on him. But I think part of that, yeah, it's all love. So I think part of that is just because he is, one, just such a physical specimen out there. He's like, oh my gosh, this guy, why, he's like an NFL player on our roster right now. What? And you expect all of that to just, you know, he needs to be that much better. It's another human being out there. It's a lot harder. He might've been playing through an injury and just didn't say anything. We don't know, but I'm just so excited for him, because he's a guy that seems like a great leader for the defense, for him to be able to come back and lead this defense into the 2024 season. Couldn't ask for much more. And I'm sure that, you know, Coach Nardo is really excited, because you're installing year two with all these guys that are returning. And it's just like, what a gift, you know, what a gift. You don't have to worry about going all the way back and starting at day one stuff. Well, let me back up. You get to move on from it a lot quicker. Right. Because it's like, ah, we got this. Let's go to the next thing. And the time that you're able to spend on that, where it comes so naturally that you can move on to the next thing. That's where you get an advantage. That's where you cause chasms between yourself and other teams. So it's looking really good right now.
Yeah. And one other thing about the start of the season on August 31st in 233 days, who's counting? Not me. Is that we kick off our 2024 season against a two-time or back-to-back national champs at the FCS level, the South Dakota State University Jackrabbits. They're coming down to Stillwater. They've won 29 straight. So mm-hmm. I think we've learned lessons this year in facing South Alabama and what happened there. And I think that we're just going to go in and hand them their first loss in almost two since week one of 2022 and defeat a national champ.
Yeah, we're talking about way too early polls. Way too early game time predictions now, but yeah, absolutely. I'm excited as well. And again, when the South Alabama loss happened, that was not fun, but it might've been one of the best things to happen for this 2024 team, because we have all these guys returning. They're going to remember what it's like to lose to an opponent that you should absolutely handle your business with. And yes, while they are on a winning streak and while they are back-to-back national champions, we're talking about an Oklahoma State team that should be competing for a Big 12 championship and a spot in the college football playoff. So you mean to tell me that an FCS opponent is going to be sticking around with us? I don't see that happening at all. And that's no disrespect to South Dakota State. It's just the level is different. And so you just got to go out and prove it. And you just got to be ready. That's all it comes down to. You got to be ready, go out and handle business. So I like the fact that we have them on the schedule. I mean, a lot of people, fans, may not like that fact. But one, you got to believe in Oklahoma State. And two, that level of competition is only going to help us later on in the season. Whenever you schedule guys like Central Arkansas, Southeast Louisiana, I don't think that does anything for you. So if you're going to schedule an opponent that's at the FCS level, you might as well do it with the best.
Some guys who won't be here week one of next year. Gunnar Gundy, Justin texted Eve and myself that Gunnar's going to OU. And I was like, wait a second. What are you talking about? Ohio University. Justin got us. Justin got us. Well played, Justin. Gunnar Gundy to Ohio University. Blaine Green to Stephen F. Austin. I actually love this for Blaine Green going to a smaller school to just play, ball out, enjoy it. Like that pick for him. DJ McKinney. This one surprised me a little bit. Colorado. Okay.
I'm not too surprised by that because I feel like if you're a defensive back, don't you want to go
fair
and learn from the best?
Yeah.
Deion Sanders. I mean, I can't blame him, but at the same time, gross. We have all these other guys that are coming back basically because of how much fun they're having with each other. I'm like, DJ, you're kind of like the black sheep now. Like you're on your own and you're going to Colorado. We had a chance, man. Come on. But I understand like the lure of Deion Sanders and what he is to college football and what he is to football. And especially as a defensive back, and that would be a very tempting thing. And I can't blame him. I'll miss him, but we'll see him soon, I guess, because Colorado's on the schedule.
Yeah. I mean, I can't blame him, and I guess surprise is the wrong word, but I'm more like, really, Colorado? Come on, buying into the hype. Although, can't hate what Coach Prime has done there. And lastly, Ladarius Webb Jr. decommitted from Tulane and is back on the market. So we'll see where he ends up. But Justin, do you have something to say about that?
It's interesting. It makes me kind of think, is he having second thoughts? Does he want to come back? Might as well. So I was a fan. I mean, I didn't get to see play a lot this year, but who's to say that that won't change in the future? I know that he has high aspirations. He wants to win a Jim Thorpe Award And I feel like if you're at a place like Oklahoma State, you have a better shot at doing that than a place like Tulane or whatever. So, yeah, I don't know.
We'll see. Well, Justin, as we officially wrap up the 2023 college football season, shall we one more time talk uniforms?
I'd be okay with that. Yeah, one more time. We could bring it up a couple more times in the off season.
Yeah. Well, you know, Justin wanted to know, what was your favorite uniform combination from 2023 Oklahoma State season?
All right. I think it's pretty well documented that I am a big fan of the brand. Okay, so that's well established. Mm-hmm. Curse the Cowboys. It's a fine logo. I think it looks great with our current template now. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that I have issues with the Curse of Cowboys is there's two, I guess. One, it's that I associate that more with our basketball program. That to me is a basketball logo. And the fact that we're using it so often on a football helmet, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. Two, the OSU brand is unique. It stands out. It pops. It looks good. Curse of Cowboys, on the other hand, it is smaller, harder to read, and it's not clear who's playing. If you're looking at the helmet, it's not like an established logo, I guess. So, like, for that reason, I favor uniform combinations that feature the brand more often than not. Mm-hmm. Okay. With that being said, the all black with Curse of Cowboys is like, I mean, so good. If you were to say like all black with a white version of the brand, I don't even know what would happen. Like, it would just break the internet. But so I'd probably have to go with that as my favorite combo this year. And then very close behind that is maybe surprising, but I love just the traditional, going back to it, white, orange, white. We wore it the first game of the year against Central Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And then if you want to call it traditional road look, we had white, white, orange at Arizona State. I mean, those three combinations, it's like 1A, 1B, 1C. And then we're all the way down to number four, where it's like versus BYU, black, orange, black. And I'm like, that's such a great uniform, but it's sitting here at rank number four. It doesn't seem fair.
I'm sitting here staring at the graphic you made of all of the uniform combinations because I'm still making my decision. My number one is easy choice for me. I'm going to get to that in a second. I'm going to give you my least favorite combos first. Oh, see, okay. I disagree. I don't love our brand. I know it's the brand, but like, I like the OSU behind you better, like the 80s. OSU, the little O and U and big S, you know, I like that better. That's just my personal preference. The brand is fine, but I like, you know, I'm a sucker for Pistol Pete as well. So let me go back and reference your doc. I mean,
I have to say it too. Like, I agree with that sentiment. I think the old bubble brand, the 80s brand, better. I think it looks better than the current one, but,
we should bring back the flame OSU.
Yeah, we just gotta roll with what we got, I guess. So.
Yeah. So again, going off the document, my favorite jersey, just jersey, and it took a lot of deciding, and I decided, is the white uniform with mm-hmm. the black numbers and the orange trim. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite jersey. So we'll go with that. So my least favorite combos from this season. We're definitely against Kansas, the brand orange, orange, white, mm-hmm. and versus South Alabama, the black helmet with the brand and then orange, orange. So black, orange, 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 white. And it's funny because orange is my favorite color. It was before I became associated with Oklahoma State. But those, for some reason, I think it might be because they have the brand on the helmet. I don't love those. Plus the way South Alabama went, we can just forget that combo ever existed. Love the West Virginia combo, the black, orange with the Pistol Pete helmet. Love a good Pistol Pete helmet and the black letters with the orange trim. Love mm-hmm. that combo. Also love the Houston look with the white, yes. white, black.
Very underrated look.
Script yeah. cowboy. It's just clean. It's simple. No, however, go ahead.
I'm just saying, like, the Houston combo, it's very underrated. It's like the black version of what we wore at Arizona State. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking of what a gift that is for anybody that wants to make any kind of video edit, like just being able to edit between those two games mm-hmm. to have like the flash between orange numbers and orange pants mm-hmm. going over to the black numbers and black pants. And of course, the same thing goes for the cursive cowboys and the face mask color. Mm-hmm. It's like the perfect, you can do so much with that. And that's really nice. I was surprised that you didn't say the UCF combo is one of your least favorites. Because
that's we're just going to forget that one too. But enough about my least favorites.
Right.
Talk my favorite, hands down, my favorite look of the year, and it's going to be hard to top in the future, was our homecoming look. The white, orange, black with the fuzzy Pistol Pete on that helmet. The helmet is what sold me on that, because the attention to detail, the Frank Eaton signature, the Pistol mm-hmm. Pete, the year of the Cowboy celebration, that helmet was everything. And you could have paired it with anything. It would have been my favorite look of the year because that helmet was just so good.
Yeah. It's hard to argue. Like, all the homecoming helmets
are so good.
They do so great. And there are little Easter eggs all over it. Tons of attention to detail. I love the fact that in a lot of the cases, we're going back to the old school look, which has a gray face mask. And this is the first time that I know of where we went triple color on the stripes, orange, white, black. So that was pretty cool. I think that overall the combo, in my opinion, takes a hit, being a tricolor that doesn't necessarily flow in the order that I typically like, which is whenever you pair the number, jersey number color with the pants color. So if they were to wear that with like black, orange, white, or if they just went the traditional white, orange, white, I think that it would crack. It's so good. It'd just be so good.
The helmet for me. Well, Justin Williams, I can't wait to see what combos you come up with next year. I expect all white and all orange very early in the season because we did not get those in 2023.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bit surprising that we didn't see all white, and the fact that we have two versions of that. And it should be good. I think maybe part of that was maybe they were thinking that we were going to have a chance to wear all white in the bowl game. I don't know, but I love what we wore in the bowl game too. So.
And Justin, if you'd like to surprise me with a teal uniform or helmet or pants or something next season, I'd love to see that uniform out on the field. So I don't know who to talk to get teals for the guys, but
I would just love that orange hat that you got with the old school OSU logo. Like that.
I don't mean a teal jersey for me. I mean wearing the guys wearing teal.
I'm just asking for something really small from Justin. Like I just need a little hat.
Just my little bubble OSU hat. Yeah. I got to wear that again. Maybe I'll break that out next week.
I say that, but like, I don't know. Orange is not my favorite on the helmet, you know? So I kind of associate that with hats as well. Mm-hmm. If I'm trying to like piece together a combination for the game, I might try to match it up. But the orange helmets for me, it just doesn't look as good. I don't know what it is. I think maybe I'm thinking it's too much like Clemson or something, but I don't know. Maybe it was just because whenever we were in my last season, 2011, we just didn't have an orange helmet. And it was like two versions of white. We had a gray and we had a black. And it's like, oh, this is all we need. Why would we even throw an orange helmet in the mix here?
Well, you only saw the orange helmets twice this season. So that's a plus for you, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
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 Can't wait to see what comes next season. Guys, the 2023 college football season is a wrap. But don't worry, the Believe in OK State podcast goes all year round. So yay, we're not going anywhere. Although the season's over, you're going to be stuck with us for the next 233 days until kickoff again. So be sure to come back every week. But that's it for this episode presented by Bet Online. Like, share, subscribe, rate, review, comment, follow, all of the things. He's Justin Southwell. I'm Megan Robinson. Go Pokes.
Go Pokes.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.